Let's go across the Pacific and check in with the NBA. Of course, live games at the moment. Plenty of talking points with our man, Benyam Cadane, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. G'day, Benyam.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Mate, I'm going really well. I just wanted to quickly ask you from an Australian perspective and the latest little setback for Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, it looks like he'll miss a little bit of time here. He came out of the game. A delicate one with the back, so hopefully it's not too serious. But I think the Golden State Warriors of any team can afford to rest some guys at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, he's had obviously a history of injury. We can only hope that he can stand up. But he does have to manage it, doesn't he, Benyam, really well. And that's something that sort of flared up, those back spasms, I think, even when he was in the Boomers camp at some stage this year.
Yeah, it was something that sort of went back to last year. He did have some trouble with that during last season, but he did a pretty good job of sort of picking his spots and knowing when to sort of take time out. And I think he worked quite hard over the off-season, you know, with the Boomers in terms of getting his body right, and especially that back. So hopefully he can sort of get back to a situation where he's not spending too much time off the floor.
And I did read with a bit of interest. We know that Brett Brown has signed the new contract. It'll keep him at Philly for another couple of years, despite their win-loss record at the moment. But Mike D'Antoni's going to come on board in sort of that associate role, if you like. And his last gig, of course, wasn't too kind at the LA Lakers, but he seems to be still remembered for the great run he had at Phoenix, which keeps him in a few gigs.
Yeah, especially now, given that the style of play that we're seeing now with this up-tempo small ball in the NBA is very much, I guess, what Mark D'Antoni was running before a lot of other teams had sort of come around to that. So he was quite the pioneer of what we now look at as the modern NBA. So in terms of offensively, he's still very highly regarded in terms of an offensive schemer and an offensive coordinator type role, which is something, you know, we've seen him do with Team USA as well. So I think that'll work pretty nicely with Philly in terms of, you know, maybe putting a little bit more, influence on their offense, because they are a very, very poor offensive team. They're right down the bottom in terms of of offense. They do play quite quickly and at a quick pace already, but I think they can sort of bring a little bit more in terms of actually putting the ball in the hole.
Kyrie Irving, we expect to be back in action tomorrow for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he tweeted today that he would be back against the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Cavs have been sweating on his return for quite some time. They're still top of the East at 17-7, but a welcome return to get one of their best players back.
Just speaking of the Cavs, I mean, obviously the whole story regarding LeBron, Ellie Day, sitting close, got taken out. Very unfortunate. Nowhere for LeBron to go. Absolutely. I said at the WNBL last night where they have a 2-metre rule when you sit courtside. I know David Blatt, the coach of Cleveland, has said he's had concerns for years how close the spectators get. What's your own take on it, Benyam?
It's a tough one because those seats are very, very expensive and the NBA likes making money. So I can't really see them going anywhere. But you are really, really close down on that courtside seat. And it is kind of one of those inherent risks, given that you have these huge athletes flying around the floor. And it's bad when you kind of see something like that happen. But I think the benefit to having them and not having them, I think it really does sort of work in terms of, I guess, keeping them, because, you know, it is a big revenue generator for the league, and also just the fact that's one of the great things about basketball is that you can be that close to the game, which is something you don't really get with a lot of other sports.
That is true. Just got to stay switched on, though. You don't want to be having too many conversations courtside and looking left or right. You've got to keep an eye on the action. Dwight Howard, maybe wanting out of Houston?
Yeah, some reports surfaced early this week about him, I guess, not really happy in Houston, which is something we've seen, I guess, be a familiar narrative with Dwight Howard, you know, throughout his career. But he came out and pretty much squashed those rumours straight away and just kind of, you know, put it back on the fact that the Rockets aren't winning a lot of games. So I guess no one in Houston is really happy. But he's very adamant that he wants to stay in Houston and try and make things work. But it's... in terms of his play and his performance this season, this is, you know, nearly as bad a season as he's been having since his rookie year. He's only taking 8 shots a game. He's the 7th highest player in terms of usage. So he's not getting a lot of touches. He's not playing really well. So I think you can kind of read between the lines a little bit with that. But I'm still confident that he'll, you know, try and pull through and stick this one out.
Match has been played today. Our time, we can tell you, Oklahoma have thumped the Lakers 118-78. Washington 109-101 over Charlotte. They're the two completed results. But what we want to do is look back at your three big moments of the week in the NBA. And I want to start with your number three.
All right, my number three moment would have to be Karl Anthony Towns and Kristaps Porzingis, the two Rookie of the Year contenders, meeting for the first time when Minnesota played the New York Knicks. It was a nice little preview into what we can expect from the next sort of 10, 15 years of these two guys, the number one and number four pick in the draft going toe-to-toe. That was a nice little moment there earlier this week.
All right, number two.
Number two, I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant's big dunk over Clint Capella when the Lakers played the Rockets. No one saw this one coming. Not even Kobe Bryant himself, I don't think. He still had a little bit of athleticism left in there, putting a big dunk over the second-year Rockets center.
Here it is if you just missed it.
16-13 and 2.5 blocks. Oh, no! The Mamba still has venom in those veins. Oh, my goodness. And a technical foul. The Black Mamba strikes again. Clint Capella, click, click. Welcome to your Mamba moment.
I did see it during the week. It was vintage Kobe, the little wry grin on his face and the farewell tour. He's just getting standing ovations wherever he goes around the country. And your number one moment this week, Benjamin, the NBA.
My number one moment had to be yesterday's game between the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. Four overtime periods, the longest game in the NBA since 2012, 68 minutes and 147 points for the Detroit Pistons to get away with that one there. It was just a crazy, crazy game to go into four overtimes and very nearly a fifth as well. This was just a wild game of basketball.
Yeah, phenomenal. They went the journey. They could maybe do with a couple of days off, but you don't get that luxury in the NBA in an 82-game season. Benny, we'll catch your work. BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Have a great week and really appreciate your time.
Thanks again for having me.